This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick, and good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
A busy day today. Some important data has come out on both sides of the Atlantic. Let's start with where you are and the latest non-farm payroll numbers. Of course, all these very much delayed, and they make interesting reading, and there's actually a rather mixed picture, is there not?
They certainly do. There's been some really interesting kind of updates in terms of U.S. economic data. It's been, I think, a heavy debate for multiple months, this side of the Fed that is more worried about inflation and then this other side that's more worried about the labor market. I think the labor market concerns are starting to win out. The non-farm employment change itself that was reported this week came in at 64,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy. Now, that by itself is better than the forecasted 50,000 or so jobs expected to add to the economy. This is, of course, reporting for November 2025. So we had a slight beat, but from there, that's pretty much where it ends in terms of good news for the U.S. jobs market, because they also revised the previous number down by 105,000 jobs. That's a pretty substantial change in terms of jobs added. And, you know, this is sort of a theme. We've seen this for you know, quite literally years at this time, where we've seen jobs reports that are then revised later to the downside. At the same time, we had softer than expected retail sales here in the United States, month over month. And on a core retail sales basis, it was a little bit stronger. But for the most part, the jobs market data gets worse from there. We talk about unemployment rate, which ticked up. From previously was at 4.4%. It was expected to come in at 4.5%. So they were expecting a modest uptick. Well, unemployment rate actually jumped to 4.6% in the United States, which is the highest that has been in multiple years. So, you know, I think it's like a five-year high going back to like COVID period of time almost. And so what you have here is you have the jobs market showing clear and evident signs of slowing. And there's been a cohort of the Federal Reserve that has sort of leaned into the idea that maybe the jobs market is not as bad off as we suspect. Well, it does seem to be showing signs of weakness. We also see it in the average hourly earnings, which came in lower than expected. And so we see, you know, hiring demand just slow. And when you see it in the average hourly earnings, I think that's also an indicator that's really important to markets, is that, you know, in a strong hiring environment, you typically also see wage growth, right? That demand for hiring, that demand for staff causes a drift higher in the price of labor, essentially. We also saw the ADP weekly employment change came in at 16.3%. 16,300. So we're seeing hiring is just very, very modest and pretty much flat hiring across the board. With an uptick in unemployment rate, I think this solidifies the need in the eyes of most Fed committee members for a continued easing from the Federal Reserve in 2026. We're now seeing a potential for that second cut to take place in 2026. The forecasts were for one cut in 2026, according to the Fed dot plot, but the bond market seems to be pricing in the possibility of a second rate cut next year. The other thing that seems to be pricing in rate cuts is precious metals today, Johnny. We've got silver at $66 an ounce. That is a record all-time high. And gold also just shy of its all-time highs, currently trading around $43.25 spot price per ounce, right? That's pretty close to its all-time trading high as well. So precious metals are on the rise, perhaps some worries about the jobs market. So jobs market jitters and rate cuts expected. Precious metals have been very, very strong in 2025 and have actually been perhaps the most interesting or most impressive performer in terms of major markets. We have to think, Johnny, you know, all this hype and excitement around the stock market and the Trump administration pro-business and, you know, cryptocurrency having a pro-crypto president. Well, it may surprise many, myself included, if at the end of this year, we'd be looking at Bitcoin down around 10% or 8%, somewhere in that neighborhood, the same year that Trump became president, who was, you know, who is probably the most crypto pro president we have ever seen in the United States. And yet crypto is down while gold and silver have had blockbuster years, 55%+, 60% up in the year. I mean, that is a remarkable move for the precious metals, signaling, I think, some uncertainties about the global economic situation, fiat currency losing purchasing power. We know national debts are high. It's an interesting story, to say the least.
And meanwhile, on this side of the pond, Nick, we've had a very interesting UK inflation number come in, which fell more than expected to 3.2%. I think it was 3.4% that was expected by markets, and that is the lowest rate in 8 months. It remains above the Bank of England's 2% target, but more importantly, ahead of tomorrow's Bank of England announcement regarding rates, it means that, well, this cut tomorrow is nailed on, isn't it? There's absolutely no doubt it's going to happen.
Yes, I think that's a fair synopsis overall, because you've got the British pound trading lower here today. Very interestingly, this inflation story with the UK is, of course, not unique just to the UK. Inflation has been elevated for quite some time across many major economies. But we also see this in oil, right? If you take a look at oil prices, oil perhaps helping with a little bit of the global inflation story. Inflation, is obviously impacted in a positive way, in the sense that inflation comes down typically when you have lower energy prices, as they are a dramatic kind of input to the global economy. So oil prices are low. I mean, $56 a barrel here in terms of WTI, it's U.S. oil, it's pretty low. And so we've had, you know, this kind of overshoot in supply, or a significant increase in supply of oil, as well as perhaps just less geopolitical tension than perhaps years past. But that being said, I think that when it comes to the UK, expectations for rate cuts are still very much there. And I think that if they're following suit with the Fed, I think the story is shifting from a slowdown, from sticky inflation problems to, you know, economic growth problems. I think that it is a serious thing for market participants to think about. These places, the UK, the US, Japan, many Western nations especially, have very high national debt relative to the GDP underlying. And that's a problem, because if you have, throughout history, that's been a major problem. Like, take, for example, Turkey historically. The Ottoman Empire had massive debts before essentially being unable to pay back all the debt that they had taken from Europe, and it created an entire, downfall of their economy. So it's a very serious, situation to think about growth metrics drying up dramatically. I think that in many ways, both inflation and economic growth relative to debt are very important metrics to keep an eye on. But it seems like the shift for the Bank of England, for the Fed, for many central banks, seems to be more poised in the direction of helping out the growth of that underlying economy to get things going again.
And finally, as far as the stock market is concerned, Oracle and Broadcom stand out today.
Yes, I think that these stocks, why they are so important to pay attention to today. You have, by the way, NVIDIA down almost 4%, Palantir down 3.3%. You have Oracle down 5.4%. Broadcom, AVGO, right, down 5% here today. Why I flagged this in our notes for today's podcast is because Oracle, they have a Michigan data center that they're building. And we know that Oracle is on this big mission to create data centers to facilitate all the perceived demand for AI. They have a partnership with OpenAI, et cetera, all these ideas of, okay, let's build the data centers so that we can, of course, make money selling into that demand for AI. Well, there's some very sensitive stuff happening here, where Oracle is dipping into the debt market in order to fund all of their AI spend. And the reason that's a concern to the market is that when you are operating off of your own free cash flow, your own cash, there's less risk attached to, of course, going out and borrowing and paying extra. You're essentially leveraging your company. Well, there's been some reports, some slowdown in terms of Blue Owl, one of the funding companies behind it, is pulling funding for Oracle's Michigan data center that they're building. 5% down on the stock. That's following, you know, I think the stock from the highs down like 45%+ on reports of stalled data center production. There's not a lot of room for these companies, Johnny. I mean, we know the valuations of U.S. tech stocks are very, very high. There's not a lot of room for slowdown and demand for AI. There's not a lot of room for slowdown in production of data centers. These companies are very sensitive to anything that is less than perfect for the AI story, because it is a very hyped up story, whether you believe it or not, right? We know valuations are very high. You may, the listener may feel that AI is the future and that it's worthy of being priced expensively, but when we know that stocks in the world of tech are very expensive right now, that doesn't necessarily mean they have to come crashing down tomorrow, but it means that expectations are very high. And any shortcoming from that expectation can cause steep drop-offs in the stock. So I think it is worthy to keep an eye on these things, as there are some implications, not just for the shares market, but for the global economy, because a lot of what pulled us out, especially in the U.S., of the recession, the impending recession, I think, of 2022, largely can be thanked to the hype and excitement around AI. It really, truly got the economy moving and spending taking place big time, that I think may not have been so peachy in terms of the last few years' performance had the AI story not heated up and gotten exciting to investors. So I think the same thing that giveth can taketh away. That's what I'm saying, is we have to be careful with this AI hype, because it can go both directions.
Thank you so much, Nick. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.